Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this world a better place. I would like to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all your help and support, because I know together we can and will create a much better and happier planet. I wanted to tell you briefly that tomorrow's a special day here. I'm sponsoring what I call a Cosmic Awareness Fair. It's my second one in Olympia, Washington. The address is 9101 Stillicum Road, and it's off of exit 111 on Interstate 5. 111, of course, and it's an angelic number. And as my friend Professor Albert Einstein has said, there's no such thing as coincidences in the universe. I'm very, very fortunate to have it there. We'll be having about 30 different vendors, ranging from psychic readers, crystal shops, bookstores, astrologists, and all kinds of spiritual people. The admission is free, and there will also be a series of lectures, free lectures, during the day, including myself at 1 o'clock giving a message, a presentation on messages from the masters, Michiko Hayashi, who will be giving a free presentation on her beautiful work and that of Dr. Emoto at 2 o'clock tomorrow, on the Emoto Peach Project, which teaches little children between the ages of 3 and 12 the lessons of love and gratitude. And the theory is that if we teach these children love and gratitude, then when they get to be adults, they'll want to make this earth a much better and happier place. Finally, of course, on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, with some of the world's best psychics, UFO people, and healers. And if you register for the conference this weekend, the cost for the conference will only be $147, and after this weekend, the cost will be $197. For more information and to register, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com, or you can call me, or you can send me an email at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. I also need some help with the conference for marketing and some logistical things during the conference. And if you're interested, please email me, and I would love your help. In exchange, I'll be happy to give you some free readings and allow you to come to the conference for free. With that, I've got two wonderful people waiting to talk to you today. I just wanted to bring them in because they will both be at my Cosmic Awareness Fair tomorrow. And the first person I want to talk to is a gentleman named Dr. Todd. Hi, Dr. Todd. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Ted. Thank you.
Well, I've had a treatment done by Dr. Todd. It was done a couple of weeks ago, and he did a fantastic job. You're a naturopathic doctor. You went to graduated from Bastyr University here in Seattle, but you do a lot of things that other practitioners don't do, a lot of alternative medicine. And in 15 words or less, if you could explain that a little bit, what you do, that'd be great.
Well, I specialize in energetic medicine. I literally channel energy, and some people have pointed out to me very recently, it's scalar energy that I'm channeling. I increase the energy, I increase the frequency, I bring the vibrations into harmony, and miracles happen when you do the right thing to the right person at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
One of my knacks is dissipating pain. I happen to be very good at that, and that's the only way I can say it, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was practicing with Dr. Bartlett when he first created Matrix Energetics, and we met when we were both students at Bastyr, and that's probably the biggest, most important thing I got out of being a student there was my association with my friend Richard.
Oh, that's wonderful, Todd. Well, I've had a treatment by you, and it was really, really amazing.
Well, thank you.
Please stay on the line. I'll wait till my producer comes back, and then we'll bring Carolyn White on as well, who's a wonderful aura reader. Dr. Todd, and you'll be giving consultations during tomorrow's fair as well?
I'll be treating people is what I'll be doing. So
right.
I'll be treating people with my energetic medicine. Mm-hmm. My motto is change your energy, change your life.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And I have people that come to me for emotional traumas, too. In fact, somebody who was waiting for me when I met you at Crystal Voids a couple weeks ago,
right.
She wanted a treatment. She's coming down there and bringing some of her friends with her for treatments as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, tomorrow's event's free. So if you are in the area, please come down. It's the location is at 9101 Silicon Road, just off of exit 111 on the Interstate 5 freeway going south from Seattle or north from Portland. It's about an hour and a half from Portland north, so it's not too far away. You'll be coming. You'll be coming to our Galactic Wisdom Conference.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Great. Great. Now, that'll be on March 9th, 10th, 11th. That'll also be in Olympia. And then also, too, you'll be able to meet Shiichiro Yoshinouchi, who is the Yoshinouchi, who is the Michi understands how to say his name perfectly. I don't, but I try. Yeah. Okay. Great. And with that, I'd like
the native words in this state, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're from here, you know them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And with that, I'd like to bring in my good friend, Carolyn White from Olympia, who's a fantastic aura reader. Carolyn, are you there?
I certainly am. And good afternoon to everybody. I hope they're all having, you all are having an awesome day. Pleased to be here.
Good, Carolyn. Well, if you could tell people what you'll be doing tomorrow at the fair, and also you'll be coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference again in March and giving a presentation there as well.
That's correct. Tomorrow, Jerry and I will be there with aura and chakra photography, along with very insightful, intuitive aspects of what's going on with your energy. And we find that when people actually see what their energy is doing, what effect that their thoughts, their words have on their emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical being, that it helps them heal. It helps them to know where to go to transform. So it's like looking at a road map and seeing where you are right now and then developing that, where do I need to go and how do I get there? And besides that, we're also involved with organizing it. So my first thought was, tomorrow morning about 8 o'clock, I'm going to be running around like the proverbial chicken with the head cut off. But other than that, I'll be very, very calm and directing people where to go.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, Carolyn, you've done so much work in putting this together, and I want to thank you so much. And, of course, it's my friendship with you and your husband, Jerry, wonderful husband Jerry, that I found out about your location, and I'll be having my conference there as well in March. So it's great. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. And one of the things, Harmony Hall, we have such good energy there, and I think that it is so important. We have 35 different vendors, and as you were mentioning, there's 6 different presentations during the day. It's all the entry is free. And one of the things that is so important, I think, for people in this day and age is that we connect on a physical, face-to-face, touch-to-touch basis. So much of the time that is spent on the internet, we lose that connection. And so this is why coming to something like the Cosmic Awareness Fair, even just walking around and just drinking in the energy, it's so important to establish that synergy of the energy. The Galactic Wisdom Conference, 3 days of connecting with people, meeting people, talking to them, developing those relationships, it's something that is very empowering. And I think that we as spiritual beings having this human experience, we need to do a lot more of that interconnectedness. And it's like we're walking the talk there.
Yeah.
And so I think that it is, if anybody, you're welcome to come down tomorrow to the Cosmic Awareness Fair in Olympia, and be sure to set some time aside in March for the Galactic Wisdom Conference, because what you'll be experiencing tomorrow, it will be 3 times that at the Galactic Wisdom Conference.
Absolutely. Well, it's so wonderful to have you both on right now, And Michiko, you'll be there tomorrow as well, won't you, giving a presentation?
Seiichiro Yoshinouchi will be bringing his own machine, and he will be showing some, giving the demonstrations and explaining how it works. And he has a new device called Haro Mini, which anyone can use so easily as long as you have a computer. Then you can just hook it to the computer and then use it for the daily water make. Or you can even play with this water crystal more like an oracle in there and find out what kind of words you need for the day and make the water, for example, patience or happiness or whatever it is for the day. Then we can make the water of that happiness for the day. It's things like that. So it's a great device. I will be talking about that tomorrow, and then in March we will have that machine too.
And that is, I just think that is just so awesome. And then, as Ted, you were asking about what we do, with the aura and chakra, it's all about color, and it's all about the vibration.
Vibration.
And so
energy.
Where we approach it from the color point of view, the vibration in the water with the hollow machines is the same type of thing. It's very, very healing. Because really, color is just one part of the electromagnetic magnetic spectrum, mm-hmm. one vibration. And so we are, as Dr. Emoto said, we are all vibration. And so how do you want to vibrate? Do you want to be a good vibration, as the song says? Do you want to live a life of love and gratitude? Because those are all very positive, life-affirming vibrations of energy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Carolyn,
this is so important.
Yeah, absolutely, Dr. Todd. Well, I'm so blessed to have all three of you here with me today. Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project, who will be there tomorrow in Olympia giving a free presentation. Dr. Todd, a fantastic naturopathic doctor with his own wonderful healing techniques. And Carolyn White, who's a wonderful psychic and a medium. And she does all her own work as well with her aura readings. Well, I want to thank you so much, both of you, Dr. Todd and Carolyn, for coming on my show today. And if you'd like to meet them, please come on to our Cosmic Awareness Fair. It'll be at 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast in Olympia, off of exit 111. And if you get lost or need directions, just call me at 509-750-9793, or you can email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to go on to my guests. Thank you, Dr. Todd and Carolyn, coming on today. To my guest, Tony Rodriguez, in Michigan right now. Tony, are you there?
Yeah, Ted. Hi. How you doing?
Good
evening.
Good. Can you
hear
me?
Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, it's afternoon here, Tony. 3-hour time difference. Can you hear me okay?
Hello. Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Good. I hope you don't mind. I wanted to also bring on, you were with the Secret Space Program, and you have a fascinating story to tell. You'll be one of my keynote speakers in March as well with the Galactic Wisdom Conference. But I was contacted by a gentleman named Russ Kellert recently from the United Kingdom. He's on Skype right now, and I wanted to introduce you to, and I have him on with you for a short time, maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Just introduce you to. I'm going to have Russ on a longer time, but I think you'll have a lot in common because Russ had a similar experience as well, and you might be interesting to put you both in touch if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. Great. Yeah. I wanted to tell you about this earlier, but I've been so busy this week. But I want to have on Russ briefly with you. Russ, are you there?
Hi there.
Oh, hi, Russ. Nice to talk to you. I'm so glad you could come on today.
Hi, Ted.
Hi, it's good to talk to you. Whereabouts are you located, Russ?
I'm in a place called Filey, North Yorkshire, in England.
Okay, interesting. Wow. And, you know, you sound so crystal clear. It's like you're in the studio with us today.
Well, the Skype is always good here, to be quite honest.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great, Russ. A little bit about your background. Just briefly tell us a little bit about your background, Russ. That would be wonderful.
Well, I started in this subject about 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was having very strange things happen to me, mm-hmm. and a friend basically said, I think you need to read a few books on UFOs and abductions because it sounds like that's what you're going through. Mm-hmm. I didn't really believe what he was saying, but I looked and read a couple of the books, and it was interesting. So much that I started a UFO group up called the International UFO Research Network. That's quite some time ago. Mm-hmm. And started researching UFO sightings where I lived over a year in England. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really bother about what was going on in my life. I was more interested in the UFO reports that was coming in. Mm-hmm. And strange things started happening where I would be with friends, and one incident was a group of, there's been one, two, three, five of us walking through a cemetery. I was with a girlfriend and was making his way home, and I'd seen what looked like very tall shadows on this wall in the cemetery. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't comfortable with this because there were about 9 or 10, and I thought, well, there's 9 or 10 people besides us in here. So I said, come on, let's get out of here. We'll run back to the cricket club. And as I'm saying that, I felt something behind me. My girlfriend looked around, and that's all I remember. Then I remembered walking over the top of the road, which I thought was, you know, sort of like maybe minutes later. Mm-hmm. When I got to the top of the road and crossed over, I could see her with her friend and a couple of mine in the cricket club. And they were saying, where have you been? Where have you been? You know, you've gone almost an hour. You've been gone almost an hour. And my girlfriend at the time said, there was this big, tall thing, you know, towering above you in a hood. And it just took you. It just disappeared in front of my eyes. So, you know, I thought, what?
Fascinating. Fascinating. You know,
So that was like the start of it. Then I had my bedroom wall turned black, and these like shadowy creatures walked through and started talking to me, mm-hmm. one in particular, mm-hmm. and showing me things, and I could hear and see things, but it was sort of like out of sync. It wasn't like a television, but I could see things and hear things slightly out of sync, and they was telling me things, and I wasn't comfortable at one point with what they were saying. Mm-hmm. My sister was going to, you know, the bathroom, and she could hear me talking in the bedroom to mm-hmm. these creatures. And then she must have disturbed them because they turned around and walked through the bedroom wall.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, sort of like they almost felt like they were so big that they shouldn't have fit inside the room. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there was like... they were like silhouettes, mm-hmm. you know, like wow. about 6 or 7 of these creatures
wow.
in the room.
Wow.
Then I became ill after that. Mm-hmm. I became ill. I wouldn't drink anything because I said that these creatures had been messing about, putting something in my water, my drinks and what have you. Sure. Then I was at traffic lights. Well, not traffic light. I was at the first time would be at what you would call a level crossing. The lights at a level crossing, mm-hmm. waiting for a train to go past because these red lights came down. I was sat there. A light basically immersed me in this light. I looked around, nothing around me. Then the next thing, I felt like I was floating, and then the light went out, and I sort of went down with a bit of a bang. Back on my motorbike, looking around and thinking, I'm sat in the middle of the road here.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
I carry on my journey. And my face, the next day when I went into work, all my face was red, where I had an half face helmet on, crash helmet on, and the back of my hands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sort of like, I hadn't been anywhere apart from the only thing that had happened was that,
sure.
the light.
Sure, sure.
Before. So these are all strange things. And then remembering I was in a checkered board room, a circular checkered board room, and I had each side of me, there was like these pillars mm-hmm. and these circular objects like orbs on top of each one, mm-hmm. on top of each pillar. And all around me were that, like these people all dressed in what I could only describe as, at that point, like knights of old.
Wow.
So, you know.
Fascinating. Russ, you have so much to say. Well, I wanted to introduce you, bring you on briefly, for my main guest, Tony Rodriguez. Tony, meet Russ. Russ, meet Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Russ. Okay. Good to meet you. Sounds like
some interesting
things. Definitely some weirdness you're going through. I was wondering...
That was just the start. You know, that was just the start. I mean, then there's the other things, like when I was taken and put into this military unit. But this was like this. This was the very start of all what happened at first, if you see what I mean. I'm trying to fit as much in as possible because you're a guest on the show.
I'll have you back on, Russ, for a full hour in the future. I just wanted to bring you on. But tell us briefly about this. You were put into a military unit?
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah. Basically, what happened was I remember being in this chair, like a dentist chair, but it was flexible, and it was like I was suspended in it. I had my mouth opened and this thing put in like a tube and an helmet put on, and then I was with hundreds of other people watching this like big sort of like screen, and you know, sort of like basically it was a step through to sort of like basic military training. Wow. You know, it's just unbelievable. Then later on, we had a uniform given, a white uniform, like a boiler suit, very, very light, very thin. But when you put it on, it basically clung to you. And there was a dial at the top right-hand side, and you turned the dial, and it changed to different colours. And then we had an helmet, which we had to wear when we were using these sound weapons. The sound weapons, when we fired them, if we didn't have the actual helmets on, it basically bust his eardrums. It could even kill us, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know, basically we're taught to use these weapons. But things changed after a while, because then I know for certain some of the areas were what you could call on other planets. But I know for certain that there was definitely one place where we was, which was in the desert, the Gulf.
Hmm. Really? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
I'm curious, Russ, you know, your times with your friends when you had the missing time with the pub, and then your other time on your motorcycle, I'm just curious, how far apart were those incidences?
It was continuous, you know, sort of like it just carried on. You know, the strange things carried on, you know, sort of like one year went into the next year. Different things happened the next year, and it was just endless.
Are you still having incidences of unexplained things happen?
I haven't had anything for a couple of years. I mean, I've actually been out and filmed a lot of the footage of flying triangles coming out of the sea where I live, flying men, all of my on my YouTube channel, what I've got, which is RJ Kellett, Russ Kellett, UFO Hunter. You can see all this, you know. But yeah, I mean, it just continued, you know.
And when did it start, I guess?
Oh, when did it start? I must have been around, I first started seeing things when I was a child, and with a group we saw a UFO when we were about 13 years old in the back streets playing hide and seek, you know. Say again?
How old are you now?
53.
So 53 from 13 to
40 years.
So about 40 years.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
38 years. You said it's been a couple of years, so it's been about 38 years, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, roughly, yeah. But like I said, you know, we've been out filming things. I mean, I know for certain that we was living in bases, an undersea base, an underground base. I know that the women, there was women in the bases, And to be quite honest, I might as well tell you, I've been told not to say because someone's asked me to write a book. But, you know, the women were actually guards. They were guards. These creatures, some are 10 foot, some are 15 foot. Their royal family, their sort of like royalty, are like 30 foot. There's not many of them, and they're like 30 foot. They're terrible looking things. But the women, the guards, they're all women, are the sort of like the pictorial guards, you could say, because there's something about the women, and that is that they have this psychic ability. One of their enemies can just basically just appear and disappear at will. So if they've got weapons, they can get into the areas at ease. So, but the women are like sort of like psychics, you know. They're very, very well thought of, the women, and they're always guards. You would think it were the men, but no, the women are the guards, and you know, sort of like highly, you know, sort of like fought, you know, sort of like thought of, you know, by this alien race.
Russ, are you familiar with any of the 20 and back technology and the people that have come forward saying about the 20 and back services where people are taken and served 20 years and then age regressed and put back in time to almost the exact time they were taken? Are you aware of that?
I'm not, no, but something funny what you're talking about there is I got captured by another race. Right, yeah, because we're on this planet and there was supposed to be no human contact. And I looked and I seen a human and I had him in my sights. I could have shot the person. And I turned around and said, there's a human. And I went over and I said to one of the officers, there's a human over there. And as I'm turning around, I got shot in the back by the human, right? And then it knocked me into one of my own team who actually, I was taking my helmet off trying to tell them, but we'd been overrun because by the time I'd been shot and I'd fallen into the other member, I'd been shot in the back by a blast gun and I had a bust eardrum, which is why I've not got good hearing in my right ear. When I came around, I were a prisoner, right? Now, the thing is, there's a bit of a problem here, and that is I've got to come back into my time now, right, yeah? And they've got to bring me back, right? Now, when I was brought back, and I think this is why I remember, is because what they said was they might be slightly out because they were bringing me back by their technology, a different technology that took me there, if you see what I mean.
Right.
So this is why I remember things.
What I've found... I mean, what I'm starting to realize is about the 20 and back tech is there are more than one way to do it. I think that there are several technologies that do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter what you make the bomb out of. You can make a bomb out of many different things. You still get the same explosion.
Sure.
I think the 20 and back technology, they have different means of taking people and using them. And I think that some of them involve safeguarding so that if a person dies out there, they can still have means of bringing them back. It's pretty complicated to just explain, but I think that that's... And the other thing I found is, since my story came forward about... I did a 20 and back. I just did one service of 20. There are some people that have the genetics to do two consecutive services, which it sounds like you were out about 38 years. In mine as well, we went into deep space flights, so there's a time travel there. So you're 20 years. So actually, on the calendar, I was gone... about 19 years, but the time I was gone totally was 20 years, but I was losing time in space flights. I was flying out, working an 8-hour day, and then we'd fly back in time as well, and the ship would get back only minutes before it left. So that time would accrue too. So you're coming in at 38 years. I'm just connecting dots here. I don't want to say for sure, you know, but it just sounds to me like you did probably two 20 and backs. Mm-hmm. And you were in deep space mission.
Can you remember your insignia? And I mean, I was given a serial number. I know my serial number, and I know that the
other thing I found is that there are several programs taking people, and I can lump them into three categories, you know, that are pretty general. There are human SSPs, human secret space programs. There's a United Nations one. There's a United States one, and the other one would be a DRACO program, which is an ET race, the reptilians that have the trapezoid base on the back of the moon. They're a separate program altogether. They're the ones that took me. And then anybody else in the third category is visiting space programs. So there's a lot of different ETs that come down here and take people for different reasons. A lot of people have very benevolent, very good things happen to them by being taken, and I think those are predominantly visiting programs.
Right.
Fascinating, Tony. Just fascinating. Tony, I'm so happy you could come on today, and I hope you don't mind me bringing on Russ to the beginning of the your interview. But I thought you guys would have a
no, lot not at all. It's great to hear what he has to say. I think he's Russ. Are you still there, Russ?
Yeah, of course. I'm listening to you. Yeah.
How long have you had? Was there a moment when you got, I guess, the bulk of your memories back? I know you've had weirdness, and you would probably, you were probably blank slated. Your memories were probably erased, and like you said, you had a circumstance that used a different technology that allowed you to remember. Was there a moment when you had a recall? Was there a time when you had like a giant burst of memories come back?
Yeah, there were two times. First, when I had I was beaten up and I had head injuries, and I remembered some strange things, and I was told, "Don't be silly." then I was taken to hospital because I thought I had either meningitis or four other of these problems, you know, which the other three I would have died with. And it came back after that. I had a memory loss and everything, and then it came back. But when I was in hospital, they said that they couldn't understand what was wrong with me because I'd been backwards and forwards to hospital, and I was diagnosed with something called ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, the thing is, in my research, in my UFO research, and abductions too, I'm finding more and more people that have been abducted seem to have either ME or fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome. So, sure. And you know, yeah. I mean, I can
well,
prove this.
Well, in your case, they couldn't find the cause for the fatigue, could they?
No, no. But time travel.
Do you still have it, or did it go away?
No, I've still got it. I have problems with my liver and my kidneys, sort of thing, you know, sort of like, and this chronic fatigue. It's something that I've had, you know, for like 30 years, over 30 years.
Sure.
When all this started, I started being ill. And one of the doctors said, if if I didn't know any better, I would have thought it looked like a case of him. I think he said something like being in deep space for a long time.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing, on one of my actual records, my doctor's records, the doctor mentions that I'm in a UFO group as well. And I've shown this on Skype to people in, you know, it was basically being on radio, the host, and said, look, what does that say? And they just can't believe that my doctor actually mentions that I'm in a UFO group. Why on earth would a doctor even say that you're in a UFO group?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, that doesn't seem relevant, does it?
No.
Well, no. Not really, but well, when you hear the story, then you can...
Have you wrote down a timeline of events of, I mean, going back to when it started? Like, have you sat down and wrote down a timeline form?
Yeah, I've more or less got everything here. But, I mean, there's other things as well, but I've only just found out. Like, my ex-girlfriend told me that, you know, I actually went through her bedroom wall the same as the aliens did when I first sort of, like, knew there was something going on when these things came through a black wall. And she said that I came through and, you know, the wall was black and I materialized. these creatures with me materialized, and they were all wearing, you know, like frogmen suit. And I'd told her and a friend who was staying over her house, you know, and I told her not to be scared, not to worry, we weren't going to hurt them. And then we basically went back out, you know, sort of like, and, you know, she's told me other things as well. I turned up a number of occasions in places where, you know, I just impossible for me to turn up, and I'd just appear and disappear.
Sure. Russ, thank you so much for sharing that. Tony, I don't think Russ knows your background. And my listeners, in case you're just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from Seattle here in the United States. And I have a fascinating gentleman on, Tony Rodriguez, who was in the Secret Space Program. And Russ Kellert from the United Kingdom was also in some sort of a program as well, run by extraterrestrials. Tony, could you explain a little bit about from your background for my listeners who are just tuning in and may not know about your background?
Well, what happened to me was I had your standard alien abduction experience when I was about 9 years old in 1981. I went to school with a kid who identified himself. We were in a talented and gifted program, and he identified himself as the son of an Illuminati. And, you know, he said, my dad's an Illuminati, what's your dad do? And we didn't get along, we were rivals. In fact, I kind of picked on him. And one day his dad came in and judged our science fair. And he said, Dad, he pointed me out, he said, I could hear them talking about me across the room. He said, Dad, that's that boy I told you about. And then they had a strange conversation. And it was only a night or two later that I was taken. I woke up with your standard gray alien in my face. And three shorter reptiles came in by the foot of my bed and carried me out. And what I did was a 20 and back service in the capacity of a slave. I was a slave. I went through an MKUltra programming, trauma-based mind control, and then I did some service. I was on the Earth for about 6 years of that time. I worked on smuggling on the MKUltra program had categorized me into the Theta programming. And they were drugging me and putting me under unconscious, and I was used as a psychic, like a channeler. And they put me on flights of cocaine in Peru, from Tahuantinsuyo, Peru, in the river area inside the rainforest. And we carried cargo plane loads of cocaine to Santa Marta, Colombia. Wow. I did that until about puberty, when I lost whatever ability I had. And then I went to... a billionaire had owned me. I was privately owned as a slave, and I went through the pedo-gate stuff and was used as a sex slave near Seattle. I don't like to give out the... I have since found the house, the property, and the people involved. But I don't like to give that out. This isn't about revenge or getting somebody in trouble. And honestly, there are people alive that I really don't want to know. I just don't want to deal with it. It's for my own safety. The reason I came forward in the first place was just for therapy. So I did that for about 3 years, and then they were giving us a medicine every day. And one day they changed it, and I was deathly allergic to it. And they said, look, if you can't swallow these pills, we did calisthenics, we took pills every day. They said, if you can't do this, you're going to be sold to the military. And at that point I was. And,
sold to the military?
Sold off. Well, that's what she said. My handler, his wife.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what happened was a couple of guys got me in a van. They put me under, and I woke up. I was on the moon.
Oh, my goodness.
It was my second trip at that time to the trapezoid base on the backside of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I was trained. It was like drugs and looking at a movie screen of subliminal messages about self-sacrifice. And what they trained us to do was be a bounding maneuver, a secondary force. They wanted to have some cheap boots on the ground, and we were essentially a suicide unit, and they gave us more trauma-based mind control to program us to sacrifice our lives. And then from there I was shipped to Mars Colony Corporation, and I went to a forward base there, and we would go out on hiking missions with about six guys like me that were slaves. They called us clones. Sometimes they referred to me as a slave. Sometimes they referred to me as a clone. anyhow, we did three combat missions, and ultimately the program failed. The enemy, which was the large insectoids on Mars, adapted much quicker than they had anticipated, so they canceled the program. And from that point, I was taken and given aptitude tests on one of the bigger Mars cities, and learned how to repair spaceships, to do the pneumatic repairs and repair systems on some of the older submarine-based spaceships, like the Cigar craft. And from that point, I was sold to the Ceres Colony Corporation on the planetoid Ceres, which is run by a German breakaway group. When I got off the transport onto the Ceres Colony Corporation, it was a straight-up Nazi Germany society.
Really? Wow.
And I lived there for about 12 years and ultimately became a cargo engineer on one of the newer ships. Our ship was antiquated and was retired after 7 or 8 years. And then I got about 3 years service on a bigger cargo ship that was much newer, and then returned. And then I was I went through the age regression process, taken back to the moon, went through the age regression process, and then put back into my 9-year-old self and put back in my room minutes later.
Oh, my goodness.
I had always had fragmented memories of what happened, just like he's describing.
Sure.
You know, he remembered being taken and coming back, but they wow, that happened. Fragmented memories came together into into a cohesive time frame in my mind where I could actually remember things from A, B, C. It was different than a dream.
Sure. No profanity, Tony. Just our policy at the station. But continue. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Ted.
That's okay.
I apologize.
That's all right. No worries. That's okay.
I'll knock that off.
Sure. That's fine.
But if you ever go through that experience, that's certainly what it'll feel like. And many people are. So when that happened, when I got my memories back, I wanted help. I didn't want to come forward and talk to anybody. I wanted therapy.
Sure. Right.
And there was just nobody to turn to. So I went through, got in contact with some researchers and did interviews that came out on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And since then, I've been contacted by literally hundreds of people that are the same thing, that go through experiences of remembering.
Wow.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay.
Russ, are you there?
But there are hundreds of people that do the same thing, that have contacted me with fragmented memories.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Of service out there. And like I said, I've been able to group them all. I've turned into a de facto researcher. I'm just trying to give people someone to talk to about it, because I remember that's how I felt. I just wanted some therapy. I was having a hard time dealing with the things I remembered.
Corey Good said last year, and I run this by both you, Tony, and Russ, that our solar system now is in quarantine by the blue avians, that extraterrestrial groups can't come in and they can't leave either, the good or the bad ones. And there's going to be kind of like a judgment day in the future where the solar system will be purged of these negative elements. Do you think this is still happening, these kinds of abductions now, Tony?
I do. I do think they're still happening. I think the programs are still running.
Okay.
And from what I understand, the quarantine's been eased up a little bit since the initial time. I think they're almost done with the avians had their own agenda. They didn't quarantine specifically for one reason. They were, according to what I've seen what Corey Good has said is that they were buffering our solar system from some kind of energy interferences that could have been dangerous for us. And now that time has passed and they've slowed it down. So I'm not sure 100% of the quarantine is completely lifted, but I think that there are races that are coming and going now at this point.
I see. Interesting.
But yeah, I think that the programs have changed. I think there's a war going on up there. And that many of the politics in space between the colonies has changed dramatically, and we're going to start seeing hopefully a disclosure, hopefully very soon, about what's going on up there. Because up until now, there have been programs, black programs, ran without our input and with our dollars, that have been unchecked and done whatever they wanted. So mm-hmm. when they found somebody with the right genetics, they could just take them and do whatever they wanted. I'm not saying, you know, I hate to speculate too much about Russ's account, what right. he went through, because ultimately he knows, and I've only heard a few minutes of it, so I can't just say definitely what he's gone through, but I'm just connecting dots to what it sounds like.
Sure.
And it sounds like he did a couple consecutive 20 and backs where you'd go for 20 years, and then they put you back. You know, let's for instance, they would take you in 1980, and then put you back, and then after the 20 years happened, in the year 2000, they would take you again wow. until 2020, and then put you back to 2000. So that's how two consecutive 20 and backs would work out. Wow. And that's based on genetics. Mm-hmm. Some people just have the genetics for it. Some people don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds about right, does that?
Hello?
I
had an astrologist on my show back in 2014 named Susan Miller from New York City, and one thing she told me, I remember this, is that this was an age of truth, that truth would be coming out by extension about the UFO program, and that's what's happened. And what's fascinating is both your story, Tony, and your story, Russ, about things that most people don't have any idea what that's been going on. But it's good that this truth is now coming out.
Yeah, we live in a very dynamic universe, and it's a shame that people think that we are all there is, when really there's a great deal of diverse life close to us.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. What kind of have you been contacted by benevolent ETs for help? By the way, Russ or Tony, as you disclose things.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Yeah, go
Russ.
Ahead, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just put some headphones on there and I couldn't hear a thing.
Okay.
To be quite honest, you know, I think you're right what you said about two lots of abductions, because I know for certain the first time we was wearing different uniforms and different technology. The second time, to be quite honest, I've got to be careful what I say here, but I would say that rather than going to different planets, I have seen more interference by these units on our planet in different areas like Eastern Europe and the Middle East, and maybe even you know, South America. I would say that there's you know, the government wouldn't like what we're saying, if you know what I mean, because I know for certain that the government have been, and that they know that the units are here, and they've been involved in some things that, let's say, that could have caused maybe a third world war.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. There's no way that these creatures can abduct people, let them carry weapons and fight for them on other planets and on this planet without being a threat to our governments around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're all marked, to be quite honest. Yeah. I would honestly say that we're all marked men and women,
mm-hmm.
you know. I suppose, you know, they can get away with somebody coming, you know, and talking like they do, who have worked for the so-called government around the world, and say, oh, no. And they're put there. You know, the thing about these people is they can neither confirm or deny that UFOs and aliens exist, but they've got a lot to say up on the podiums around the world now,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they're saying nothing. They're not actually saying a damn thing, you know. And why people have them up there talking, I don't know. You know, what they need to do, you know, is get people like Tony and other people that have lived this and have gone through this up on the podium and talking more about what's going on. You know, I mean, I can tell you about the weapons, what we use, the sound weapons. I can tell you more up to date in this, you know, we've actually used H&Ks, other, you know, SIGs, all sorts of other weaporry, which are not otherworld, if you know what I mean, compared to the first time we went out there. you know. And like I say, they seem to be sticking their nose in other countries' affairs around the world, which must be, you know, that must be a threat to the, to the, you know, the big countries around the world. Yeah. You know, that there's people, you know, with these alien units that have got weaponry and using them.
Right.
I know for certain we've used them. I've you know, I've been there.
Well, I have to tell you, Russ and Tony, I'm so glad. We've got about 4 minutes left, by the way. But I'm so happy that both of you could come on the show today and tell a little bit about your experiences, especially, and I think it's time people know about it, that it's not science fiction, that there's other life there out in the planet. And but I think with disclosure, and I think we all are also getting a lot of help from benevolent extraterrestrials out there from the Galactic Alliance. I know I've been talking to the Galactic Alliance now for the past 3 or 4 years, and I'm still in telepathic contact with them. They provide protection for me, I know, and I'm very grateful for that wherever I go. I think that this interference, if you like to call it that, from some negative forces in the past, I think it may be still occurring now, Tony, but I think they're on their way out. That's how I look at it, anyway.
The way I look at it, I don't really subscribe. I try not to treat them as a good guy completely or a bad guy completely. I try not to lump them in. A lot of ETs, especially, they're just doing their job.
Okay.
Whether we see it as good for us or bad is one thing, or what they mean, if they mean well by it.
Sure.
A lot of other cultures have completely different standards of good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really lump them into that. I think that the benevolent ones, your more advanced ones, turn out benevolent just because that's more logical once they get to a certain density.
Right.
And I think that they're the ones that are obeying the rules by not coming down and interfering with us, giving us our free will.
Right.
So that we only hear about the negative stuff.
Sure, right.
And think that they're hard at work, both sides. And the negative ones are just selfish. It's not that they're evil, bent on evil. They're just selfish for their own thing. They don't really care what happens to anybody else, where the more advanced ones are, more concerned with what's best for everyone.
Right, right. And that distinction that you just made, Tony, I think is very important, because I've been told by my Galactic Alliance friends is that there's a separation out there in two large groups of extraterrestrials. One's oriented is towards service to self in a negative way. Those are the reptilians. And the other second group are service to others. And the Galactic Alliance, which is an alliance of 450 million planets, approximately 7 trillion entities, they are about between 50 and 100,000 years ahead of us technologically, and 30 to 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. Their technology is far and away more advanced than the negative forces, but they still have to be careful, because the negative entities could make a mess of this planet if they wanted to. But the planet's changing, and I know there's some good things ahead of us. And for those of you coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference, Tony will be giving a presentation at my conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, here in Olympia. And Tony and Russ, I want to thank you so much for both coming on today. We got about a minute left, and 20 seconds to Russ and 30 seconds to Tony to wrap up your interview.
I'd just like to say thank you very much, Ted, and thank you very much, Tony. It's been amazing listening to you, and thanks for inviting me on the show.
You're welcome, Russ. Thank you so much for coming on. And Tony, I want to give you the rest of the time.
Good, Russ. It's great to meet you. I hope we can keep in touch, and I'll get your information from Ted. Maybe we can keep in touch and email back and forth.
Okay.
I just want to say that February 2nd and 3rd, I'm going to the Rye Conference in Rye, Australia, and it'll be my first live talk to give my story, and there'll be YouTube videos for it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Tony and Russ, thank you both so much for coming on today. I hope you all have a beautiful and happy day.